was thinking during our kirtan, something I recently read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which I'll share with you. Chaitanya Bhagavat is the first comprehensive authoritative biography on the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was written chronologically before Chaitanya Charitamrita was written. And Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And the story of his life, just the biography of his life, is very, very wonderful. All of the persons in Lord Chaitanya's Leela have their spiritual counterpart in Krishna's Leela, just like our members of the Panchatattva were pictured here on the altar. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, and Sri Vas. They all have their counterparts in Krishna Leela. So Vrindavan Das Thakur was Vyasadeva in Krishna Leela. That is, he compiled the authoritative literature that narrated the pastimes of Krishna shortly after he performed those pastimes in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vrindavan Das Thakur compiled the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And after he compiled Chaitanya Bhagavat, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami compiled Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada translated first for a number of reasons. It includes the middle and the later pastimes more comprehensively, whereas Chaitanya Bhagavat includes the childhood and after initiation until the time he accepted sannyas pastimes far more elaborately. But also Chaitanya Charitamrita in the introductory 6 chapters discusses the philosophical foundation for Lord Chaitanya's supremacy, his existence as the personality of Godhead according to scripture, and philosophically the reasons behind Krishna's coming as his own devotee, which was specifically to experience personally the love that Radha has for himself. Because Krishna was seeing that Srimati Radharani has such love for me that I cannot even estimate what that experience is like for her. I want to experience that, but I can't experience because I'm the object, not the subject, or the abode of that love. And so he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the worshipper of Krishna, to experience that love, which only Srimati Radharani has amongst all of the worshippers of Krishna, lovers of Krishna. And those attractive features that she sees in him, how does she see those features? And the joy that she experiences and can know those things, the imitation of the Absolute, detaching oneself from this world of duality and experiencing the world of transcendence. It's through the medium of devotional service. So anyway, Chaitanya Charitamrita discloses that very, very elaborately, very wonderfully, filled with scriptural references, and it's fantastic composition. And then in chapter 7 of Adi Lila, the encounter of Lord Chaitanya with Prakash Ananda Saraswati, which Prabhupada published in its own volume, just that one chapter. He published it in a hardcover. He published it in a soft cover. He wanted it mass distributed because that conversation covers the essential dialogue between those who are traditionally in favor of impersonalism or monism, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the proponent of Vaishnavism or pluralism, that within the spiritual world there's diversity, there's personality, there's love, there's exchanges of love, there are all varieties of rasa in the spiritual world. So that dialogue is in chapter 7. Chaitanya Charitamrita is very, very important philosophical treatise in addition to the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is also very instructive. So, in that Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was commented upon, an extensive commentary was made by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and it's typically Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. It's very, very comprehensive, very lofty language, you have to really stretch to grab a hold of it. In one section, in the, after Lord Chaitanya has accepted sannyas, after he's received initiation, and he comes back to Navadvipa, and he's a transformed bhakta. After some time, he meets his counterpart, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda in Krishna's Leela is Balaram, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Krishna Leela is Krishna. So Krishna and Balaram, similarly, they're not exactly, they're brothers, but they're not exactly brothers. Rohini is the mother of Balaram, and Devaki, and actually, literally, simultaneously, Mother Yashoda is the mother of Krishna. In any case, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati in Eka Chakra, they are the mother and father of Lord Nityananda, and he grew up, Lord Nityananda grew up in childhood without ever hearing any of Krishna's Leela, reenacting the details of Krishna's Leela with his school friends, his children friends that he had. In detail, Krishna Leela and also Ram Leela. There's a very, very intricate description of the Lord Nityananda was playing the part of Lakshman, and one of the boys was playing the part of Ram, and then another boy was playing the part of Ravana, and the firing of the weapon and hitting Lakshman. And he told the boys ahead of time, when I pass out after being hit by this weapon that doesn't exist, that Ravana is going to fire, here's what you have to do. And he gave him the details of, you do this and this and this and this and this. And so the whole drama was reenacted. When Lord Nityananda hit the ground as Lakshman in the drama, the children's play, Lakshman got hit by the arrow. He was unconscious. Just like Lakshman was unconscious. And everybody panicked because it appeared that it wasn't just a play. He was completely unconscious. But he had told them. So one of the adults was there and said, one of the children said, this is what he told us to do. And so they did the whole thing. They went to get the whole drama, just as it's in Ramayana. And he was being challenged with, you know, whether to get the medicines from the mountain and the battle that took place and this and that and that and that. And, you know, the whole thing was enacted, and he brought back the herbs and put them before Lord Nityananda's nose, and he immediately came to consciousness. Anyway, he was completely, miraculously, but not so, one understands his personality, completely conversant with all the details of Krishna Leela and Ram Leela, and the other avatars also. As a child, he just enacted them. That's what he did instead of playing cricket and, you know, all the things that everybody else normally does. He was totally absorbed. And I don't know if I'm going to get to speak about what I wanted to speak about for this evening. This is absorbing. Anyway, when Lord Nityananda grew a little bit older, he wanted very much to go to the various places of pilgrimage throughout India. But his mother and father, because he was the personality of Godhead, they were completely attached to him. In fact, they wouldn't let their son out of their sight for a moment. Whenever Hadai had to go to the marketplace to do some shopping, he would take his son with him. Or they had a field where they did some gardening. When he was a Brahmana, but apparently there was also some gardening activity on their property, and he took his son with him. Whenever a visitor would come, he would hold his hand. He was with his son constantly, and Padmavati similarly, if not one, then the other. So, as it came to pass one day, one sannyasi, sadhu, came to visit their home. Very reminiscent of Ram Leela, where a visit was paid to the palace of Dasarath by one sadhu, who, in the course of staying with Hadai Pandit, and discussing Krishna Katha, and very delightfully associated together, as Vaishnavas will do, it became eventually time for the sannyasi to leave, and he made the request of Hadai Pandit for some charity. And of course, Hadai Pandit, being a Brahmana and a Vaishnava and having had such a wonderful exchange, said, whatever you ask. And so he asked, since I'm quite old and I have this long pilgrimage to take, I would like you to send your son with me on pilgrimage. Surely I will bring him back. And Hadai had the same existential dilemma that Dasarath had. I can't do this. But I can't say no. But he's my life and soul. But he's a sannyasi and a great sadhu. I can't refuse him. But I'll die without him. So he said, let me consult my wife. And he consulted his wife, Padmavati, who said, my dear husband, whatever you decide, I will accept. So he was on the spot again. And he couldn't refuse. His attachment was subordinated to his religious principles. He had to accept. And so Lord Nityananda left joyfully, skipping down the trail with the sannyasi. And the details are described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, all the various holy places that he visited. And one place that he stayed for a very long time was Vrindavan. And this was all before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, Lord Nityananda was elder to Lord Chaitanya. And then after Lord Chaitanya's appearance, Again, some time passed until he was married and initiated, and then from Vrindavan, Bodhidhananda made a pilgrimage to Navadvip, knowing, and he was omniscient, knowing that now was the time for the two brothers to again, as Krishna and Balaram weren't originally together, but of course very quickly came together. This much, much later in their pastime, they came together. And the meeting of the two takes up a whole chapter of Chaitanya Bhagavat. In Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, wrote extensive commentary, which has now been translated into English. It's still in the process. But Bhakti Siddhanta makes note of the fact that there is common, it's common amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that means the Vaishnavas who are followers in this line of Lord Chaitanya, that they will worship Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya together. And sometimes they'll worship Gadadhar and Lord Nityananda together. Now, the feature of Gadadhar, which he focuses on first, Gadadhar Pandit in Krishna Lila is one of the internal potencies of the Supreme Lord. Now, there are places where it's said that Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. There's some other esoteric conclusions, but in any case, the Lord's internal potency. So as we see the picture of the Panchatattva, to our left, or to Lord Chaitanya's right, in the picture, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, now these are all Vishnu Tattva, as opposed to living entities who are Jivas, Vishnu Tattva. Then to Lord Chaitanya's left, or to our right, is Gadadhar, Shakti Tattva, internal potency, and Srivas, who is Jiva Tattva. In Krishna Lila, he is Narada Muni. So the worship of Gaura Gadadhar, in approaching Gadadhar, Bhakti Siddhanta explains, this is a very elevated form of worship, actually, because the mood of Gadadhar is in that of Madhurya Rasa. So to approach Gadadhar, although he's in Chaitanya's Leela, his mood, or his rasa with the Supreme Lord, is Madhurya Rasa. It's a very confidential form of worship, Gaura Gadadhar. But he states that the conclusion is the same when there's worship of Lord Nityananda and Gadadhar, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, or Gaura Nitai. But the special feature of Lord Nityananda, like Prahlad, is Lord Nityananda is exceedingly merciful. We have this prayer. For those of you that know the prayers for offering, we make Gauranga and Krishna. So the prayer to Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tushe Namaha. Namo Mahavaranyaya indicates the feature of Lord Chaitanya is he is most merciful. Sometimes this word is used munificent. You kind of have to look that up in the dictionary to really be sure what munificent means. It's in the line of exceedingly merciful. Just like Krishna, Lord Vishnu, exhibits the fullness of the Lord's opulences. Aishvarya. You're familiar with that word, right? Aishvarya, the opulences of the spiritual world. That's Aishvarya. So Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, he exhibits the fullness of the opulences of God. And the worship is in Aishvarya Bhav, recognizing with awe and reverence his greatness. In Krishna's pastimes, that Aishvarya is also there in its fullness. But the sweetness of the very confidential, intimate pastimes that Krishna in his Braja Leela exhibits is so strong that it eclipses, just like a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse, it eclipses that Aishvarya and predominantly shows Madhurya feature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the fullness of Aishvarya and Madhurya, but the merciful nature of Lord Chaitanya is so significant and strong and all-pervading that his munificence eclipses the sweetness and the opulences of those pastimes. So, Odharya or Vadanyaya, these terms indicate the compassionate nature of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya encourages or engages his dearmost servitor, Lord Nityananda, in distributing that mercy freely. He's even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, exhibited by the pastime of rescuing Jagai and Madhai. We're going to run out of time before we even get to the Srimad Bhagavatam. But, so you know this pastime of Jagai and Madhai? Anyone not familiar? Not familiar? Jagai and Madhai with Lord Chaitanya? You all know the pastime. Either that or you're shy. Jagai and Madhai, saved by Lord Nityananda. Okay, well known. And Haridas Thakur. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a very, it's not in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, because Chaitanya Bhagavat was written historically or chronologically earlier. So the succeeding biographer, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he did not want to be like an upstart and cross over his predecessor, Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he just wrote the essentials of the Leela. But in Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, elaborately he discusses this pastime, particularly where there's a discussion. I'll highlight the part where there's a discussion between Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So, Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they're given the assignment by Lord Chaitanya. Go and give the holy name to the people. And they go every day and give the holy name to people, and they come back and give a report to Lord Chaitanya at night, and he relishes their report. And then they get this bright idea, we should rescue the most fallen. Then the greatness of Lord Chaitanya will be known everywhere. It'll shine brightly. Tell a little side story. For many, many years in America, I used to distribute books. That's all I did as a brahmachari. For years and years and years, just go with a book bag on my shoulder, out into the public, come back at night, hopefully with an empty book bag. And have many, many, many experiences which were very purifying, because many people don't want to see you wearing dhoti and shaved head and tilak and saying, please take this book. They'll say so many things besides, yes, I'd like to see that book. So there was a very close friend of mine, another brahmachari. We got into a certain mood with one another. We would go out together. And then we would pick the most unlikely person to take the book. So he'd point one out to me, and I'd point out one out to him. The most, because naturally you'd do it the other way around. Who's the most likely person? You approach the most likely person. Who's the most unlikely person? And it was like intoxicating. The spiritual experience of Krishna making just amazing things happen. Words come out and exchanges, and we would just laugh and laugh and laugh, and then think the next one. That unlikely, that most, he'll never take a book. Go, give him a book. Time and again it would happen. It was just exhilarating. So that was the idea of Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. They wanted, let's pick the most unlikely people and have them take the holy name. So that was their idea. It wasn't what Lord Chaitanya told them to do. But Lord Nityananda, he's so merciful. He wanted, what he wanted was to glorify Lord Chaitanya. So you know the story. The first time they got, you know, chased and they ran for their life. They reported to Lord Chaitanya that they went back the next day. And the clay pot was thrown and hit the side of Lord Nityananda's head, and blood came from his head, and the report went back to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came charging with a Sudarshan Chakra ready to show something other than mercy, apparently, to Jagai Madhai. Just like Shishupal, let him have it. So Lord Nityananda stopped him and said, Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, you've come in this incarnation to deliver the fallen, not to kill them. So how will it be if you kill these poor, foolish people? You should deliver them. And with his chakra raised, I cannot tolerate my devotee being offended this way. So with this business going on, Madhai realized, I better surrender. So he surrendered, and of course Jagai was still a little challenging. When Madhai surrendered and offered wonderful, in that surrender, he realized the position of Lord Chaitanya. And then Jagai also surrendered. And then this very wonderful discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda ensued, where Lord Nityananda was giving the credit to, well, first it was Lord Chaitanya giving the credit to Lord Nityananda. Just see how merciful you are. You've gone to the most fallen and you've delivered them. And Lord Nityananda said, no, no, no. It is not that I have delivered them. You have delivered them. I just went under your instruction. I'm the bearer of your instruction. That's all I've done. You have delivered them. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, no, no. You're the bearer of that. You're the emblem of mercy. Had you not approached them, they would still be in their fallen, criminal-like state of existence, because you are so merciful. And it went back, no, it is you, because you gave the order. They have been delivered. I'm just the instrument. You are the merciful one. They had this argument. So Lord Nityananda was known, much like we find Prahlad Maharaj being very compassionate upon the unfortunate, and as he uses the word vimudhan, the class of people in this world who are victims and therefore extremely foolish personalities within material society. Lord Nityananda was particularly, indiscriminately compassionate upon such personalities. And so when Prabhupada went to the West, he established Gaura-Nithai worship, because there is Lord Nityananda with his upraised arms giving this benedictory upliftment to the whole of society, just radiating compassion and mercy upon the fallen soul. And Lord Chaitanya, who is there to deliver them all. Ultimately, this Gaura Gadadhar and Gaura Nithai worship ends up in the same place, because it's through the mercy of Lord Nityananda that one gains the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. One who gains the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's mood was in this mood of Srimati Radharani, was in the mood of conjugal love of Krishna in Braj. That's his internal mood, although externally he was performing his Sankirtan Leela. His internal mood was great feelings of separation from Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So through this approach or through that approach, the result is the same. Practically speaking, for this age, it's imperative for gigantic tidal wave of mercy to come upon the conditioned souls. And so we worship Sri Sri Gaura-Nithai. And just as I mentioned the other day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted 100 years ago, now more than 100 years ago, that in every town and village of the world, the names of Lord Chaitanya would be sung and heard and chanted. So we have these deities in many, many of our centers all around the world. And I was thinking also that some of you heard this already, mentioned it, but in our, just as here there's Jagannath deities. So just before coming here, I was in Warangal in Andhra Pradesh. The main deities there are Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. And I mentioned all the way in Coimbatore, the main deities are Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. And for Tamil Nadu, that's quite unusual. But that's the main deity. That's the deity that the Prime Minister worshipped. He actually performed arti for Srila Prabhupada. What was it, arti to the deity? I think he just offered flowers and paid his prostrated obeisances before Prabhupada's murti and performed arti for the deities. Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. So they're also very, very merciful deities. These two, Gaura-Nithai and Jagannath deities, particularly Gaura-Nithai deities, because of the merciful, all merciful nature of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So, the story that I wanted to tell, I think I'll have to tell tomorrow evening. It's a story, I'll just give you a little, what I call it, a sneak preview. So you'll come again tomorrow evening. it's a description of one of the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. About a week ago, or 10 days ago or something, we were observing the appearance day of Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur appeared 2 generations after Lord Chaitanya. So after Lord Chaitanya were the 6 Goswamis here on our altar. And disciples of the 6 Goswamis were Narottam, Srinivas, They were students of Jiva Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur wrote many wonderful poems and songs, which Prabhupada liked to sing, and he often quotes in his books. And there's one particular disciple of Narottam Das Thakur whose story very much resembles. I mean, there's some differences, but there's some very significant components that very much resemble the story of Prahlad Maharaj. So I want to narrate that tomorrow, because it'll take some time. And one of the features of that story that's nice, that makes it particularly relevant to us, is it's not just you have to be, you know, Arjuna or Prahlad Maharaj or Bali Maharaj, one of these super great personalities. This individual who was the disciple of Narottam was not any particularly great personality. But he was a recipient of mercy of a great soul. And he exhibited extreme benefit in his life from receiving that mercy. And the way the drama of his life unfolded was very, very extraordinary. So stay tuned. Come back tomorrow. I guess I will discuss a little bit from, just to continue in our Prahlad Maharaj description. This morning, we discussed one verse that's a very often quoted verse from the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj is describing to Lord Nrisimhadev the position of a life of worldly enjoyment in family existence that's devoid of God consciousness. And he doesn't have great complimentary things to say about that kind of a life. It's the life of a miser. It's the life of an unfortunate person. It's the life of a foolish person. It robs the soul of the birthright in this human form of life to achieve the highest form of happiness, which he describes in the previous verse, that of attaining shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, just by the simple slip of directing one's life toward enjoyment apart from Krishna, particularly in family life, swallows that natural inclination of the soul, engulfs the natural inclination of the soul, and obliterates the real happiness of the soul. So he's making a plea, and that's how our class ended this morning, making a plea that we not make that same mistake. So careful training is required, receiving mercy is required, and acting according to both the training and the mercy received in order to be properly situated. In a position where one doesn't act upon the itching sensation of sense gratification, but like a dhira or a sober person goes beyond that temporary duality call of nature and sees to the ultimate purpose of this human form of life. And then and only then can real happiness be known. And the other business it's not happiness in the beginning, and it's worse as time passes. So, We'll just cover two texts this evening. They're on the same theme. In fact, in 46 and 47, in 47, Prabhupada is still referring to what's stated in 46. I'll read the translations. So this is Chapter 9, Canto 7. Prahlad is speaking to Lord Nrisingadev in prayers. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path of liberation. Here's the list. To remain silent. To not speak to anyone. To observe vows. To amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge. To undergo austerities. To study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures. To execute the duties of Varnashram Dharma. To explain the Shastras. To stay in a solitary place. To chant mantras silently. And, the last one, to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. Text 47. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood. So here's some wood. Anybody see the fire pervading this? But by knowledge we can, right? We know that it's stored there somewhere. It's not burning my hand. We don't see the flames come out. The heat and light is not evidenced. But we know that it's there. Oh my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and the effect. Now, he's already, just going back a bit, Prahlad has already said in his prayers that he recounts and recalls how Lord Brahma underwent austerities for self-realization. We reviewed that this morning. No, this yesterday evening. Whenever it was. Yesterday evening. And because of his austerities, he became purified, just like as is mentioned here, the list of austerities. Monavrata, Shruta, Tapo, Adhyayana, Swadharma, Vyakya, Raho, Japa, Samadhaya. So there's the 10. So he became purified by one of those 10. But you should know that in the austerity performed by Lord Brahma, built into it was something very important. It was names of the Lord. The specific austerity that Lord Brahma underwent was he engaged in meditation upon the Gopal Gayatri and Kam Gayatri, both of which have names of the Supreme Lord. If you want to know what those Gayatris are, they're written in Sri Brahma Samhita, in the purport. I'm not going to speak them, but you can read them. They're there. The whole mantra. But you should know, according to Rupa Goswami, without receiving mantra from disciplic succession by proper ceremony of diksha, you will not have the full effect. But Brahma was initiated by the Supreme Lord directly, as the sound of the flute of the Supreme Lord entered his ear, the Gayatri mantra came out his mouth. So that was his tapa. He was not only undergoing austerity, but specifically he was fixing his consciousness upon the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he became purified to the point where he realized what Prahlad is speaking about now, that is, the subtle cause and the gross effect. There is an inseparable relationship. There is a certain kind of oneness between them. The Supreme Lord was existing within the limbs and senses of Brahma. But he also realized the personal feature, the difference feature of the Supreme Lord. Aside from that oneness aspect, the Lord has his own existence, completely quite apart from the cosmos. So that's what Prahlad is pointing to, that the process of bhakti, just like I was narrating the story of, or the description of Lord Chaitanya appearing, Krishna himself appearing as his own devotee. Why did Krishna appear as his own devotee? Well, one reason was to teach. This is how you do it. This is how you do devotional service. Because the end instruction in Bhagavad Gita, what's the parting instruction Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita? Who knows the shloka? Sarva dharmam. And what does that mean? What is he telling?
You fool can't be within and surrender. Do not worry, I will be
protected. I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Moksha yashami. Don't worry. Masucha. So he's given the instruction, just surrender unto me. Now one might scratch their head and say, well, how do I do that? I'm ready. How do I do that? So Lord Chaitanya came, or Krishna came, because who can teach that lesson better than the Lord himself? He came himself. This is how you do that. This is how you engage Mam, Ekam, Sharanam. That was, as Krishna Das Kaviraj describes, the external reason. But the internal was these reasons that he wanted to, through, just like Prahlad is saying, through the medium of devotional service, experience the goal of life, the highest form of exchange between the Supreme Lord and his loving devotee. He wanted to experience that through the medium of devotional service. So when we're given the process of devotional service by Lord Nityananda, or one of the followers of Lord Nityananda, what we're getting through that gift is the medium for experiencing that which Krishna himself came to experience. That taste of loving attraction for the personality of Godhead, tasting which all other attractions pale in their significance. They just wither and shrivel up and blow away. Those things which now may be very important to us,